You're listening to Bobby Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hello, and thanks for joining us today on Bobby Talk. Thanks for joining us, James and Justin, on Bobby Talk.
Thanks for having us, Kelly.
Yeah, it is officially your Bobby Talk.
Somebody at Fall Festival was like, hey, everybody that I've talked to listens to Bobby Talk is like, Kelly is a great addition to Bobby Talk.
Oh, wow.
And that you do
She was
really
chomping at the bit to do this.
Yes. Yeah, that was actually an interview. It's like, when can I do that?
Yeah, she was.
No.
But they were
100%
very
false.
I think you looked terrified when we first were like,
you're like,
you could do
okay.
This.
You're like,
I was very not expecting that at all.
Yeah. And yeah, but they were complimentary on how you are able to redirect us.
I agree.
And
that's
us
what
in.
I've heard too.
I agree.
You can redirect them. Like, it's the high school teacher in me, I guess.
We're like high schoolers.
Yeah.
We've been hanging out with high schoolers a lot, but in student ministry.
I'm less random now that Kelly's here, I think.
Yeah. I was like, I feel the freedom to not that I'm not paying attention to this, but I don't feel the weight of like, oh, I've got to like ask the next question and think about how to transition this.
Yeah.
I just be like,
yeah.
I'm
and then
done.
I say something off the wall, and you'd be like, wait, what?
What? Like, let me revisit it. Yeah. I think what you're trying to say is.
It's harder than I thought. That's for sure.
Active listening.
Lots of practice. But, well, we had some exciting news that was shared this past Sunday. So
Woo!
In case you weren't there, can you guys share about that again?
Woo!
Well, Jack Skiles, who's been the chairman of our student minister search team, shared that the team has, in the process, there is a guy. There's a candidate.
Yeah.
And he will be here the weekend of the
9th and 10th.
I was like, 10th. Yeah. Sunday, the 10th. We'll have the Saturday before, have a meet and greet, Q&A with parents and students, and
nice.
Opportunity for him to meet the church. He'll be preaching in all three services. We're really excited. I mean, I think through the process, the search team of church members, and then just the series of the progression of their interviews, meetings, and then meetings with staff and leaders in our church, trustees approval, interview with the deacons, the whole process. We really see and not just on our end, but on their on their end too. Mm-hmm. God really leading them here. Which is exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think one of the things I'm most excited about him, just as we've gotten to know him in this process, that he is incredibly relational.
Yeah.
And just really sees value in connecting with students and families, which I know in an interview, every student pastor says that. But that was confirmed, like, I think just even in observing his interactions in interviews and he got to meet with, some students and just – he made an effort to ask them questions, get to know them, hear their thoughts, remember their names, all in an hour. So that was, impressive. And I think that was confirmed even in references that we talked to. So
you can put that fleece up, Justin.
Yeah, come on. I'm like, come on, Lord, please. excited for what's ahead. I think, that's right.
Can we do a Boggy talk about laying out fleeces?
We should.
I don't own any fleeces.
Is that plural, the fleece?
Fleece-eye?
I think it would just be fleece.
It's not fleece.
Fleece-in?
I was going to say, is it fleece?
Oh, ew. Well, some of the theology on it is fleeces. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Woo. Well, speaking of rain,
I'm not sure.
All right.
You guys leave me hanging with these really weird transitions. So, well, we last week we started kind of a 3-week little series that we're doing because it's election season. And
it is.
Yeah, early voting started last week, so,
I didn't know it was. My pastor hasn't preached a series on politics, so I didn't even know. How else would I know if he didn't do
it? The lighting in our sanctuary hasn't been red, white, and blue.
Oh, boy. Well, we might need to put those flags back up, too. So. But we're going to continue that conversation today. And today's topic, we're going through the 6 Florida amendments.
Woo!
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is so exciting. But some of these, as we talk about them, they're a little, like, what? And then some of them are very, I think, very important for us to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're not going to do them all in order because we wanted to leave a little bit of time for the
excitement to build.
Yes.
That's right.
Interesting ones at the end. But we'll start off.
Saving the weed and the babies for last, right?
Yeah. The weed and the babies. Okay. Absolutely.
That's like certain politicians, like, like, I'm for the weed and the babies, you know, or man, I'm against, I don't know.
They anyway. Could make a poster out of that, you know, for the road. Okay. All right. So the first one is Amendment 1, okay. And this one makes school board elections partisan from the 2026 election cycle onward. So right now they are nonpartisan.
Correct.
And they want to change that. So, thoughts?
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, to be clear, this is going back to how it was. It changed a while ago. I can't remember the year. Not that long ago.
Okay.
So it used to be partisan, went to nonpartisan. Now they're trying to make it constitutional, right, that it has to be partisan.
Okay.
My gut reaction is, you know, and I don't know that it's the right reaction, is like, wait, why does that have to be political? I think everyone would agree, regardless of where you land politically, you know, far left to far right, like we don't necessarily, no one like wants politics meddling with education, even though we recognize it absolutely does.
Yeah.
To put this in the Constitution, I think to me, my perception is why in the Constitution? Yeah. And can you really, like, I get the heart behind, or not be the ideology behind it is like, we want to know more about our candidates when we elect them.
Right.
Agreed. But do you really know if they just slap Democrat or Republican? I mean, in there, you know, I mean, I would say in this county.
Yeah. You got to run
the vast majority.
Right?
Everyone's going to be like, well, forget it. I'm going to put Republican on there. Right. I mean, that just, that's our area. And I think that same thing would happen in other areas.
You're right.
So do you really, are you really going to know?
Right.
Because I mean, there's plenty of, let's just be honest. If you're an honest Democrat or an honest Republican, like there's plenty of people in your party that you wouldn't want on your school board. So
I think a big impetus for this is the whole woke politics, DEI thing that happened, you know, in other counties, not in Okaloosa. And so like, who are we electing to run our schools, you know? And and so I understand that. It's like, you want to know what this person stands for and the position. So I get that side of it. I'm kind of see both sides of this. I lean towards the other side where I think that by keeping them nonpartisan, you are making a statement that the schools are nonpartisan and they're not to be governed by partisan politics, even though that will obviously always creep in. I think by saying they are nonpartisan, you have a framework to say, hey, we can't be this direction is politics, you know, that are Republican or Democratic or whatever, and we can't be drifting towards that. And so I think our city, our city municipal government, here recently did not make a resolution about Amendment 4, while our county did. Our county is partisan, and so you have Republican, as you alluded to, officials, and they're saying, hey, we make a resolution against Amendment 4. Well, our city, even though probably all of them will vote no on Amendment 4, felt like that's not our place to make a resolution about this, because we're nonpartisan, a municipality, and our scope is this. Right. And so I would say with the school board, it's the same. Our scope is this. Yeah. It's not to get involved in those things.
Yeah.
So I am going to vote no.
I
get it if you vote yeah.
Yeah. And you were in education.
Yeah, I was going to say your opinion's more important.
When I saw this, I was like, what?
I know. I really was like, huh?
honestly, because I would look on a regular basis, the school board docs, I mean, all that stuff is public record. You can look on to see what they're going to be going over, and I just same kind of like I don't see where this needs to mix because people do, they just put labels on people, you know,
right?
They don't really know how they feel about it, and then when you're really looking at the things that they're talking about, like how many of them are political issues, I just think that it muddies the waters to know more, but that's just my personal opinion.
And then if politics are involved, it's money muddies the water.
Right.
The
water, yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
So anyway.
All right. Well, moving along.
If you disagree, it's fine.
Amendment 2. I'm just using some wording. It says it enshrines the right to hunt and fish in the state constitution. So basically that we have a constitutional right to hunt and fish. Keeping that.
I mean, I say this, I recognize that until we were looking through this, I was like, why does this have to be on there? I don't know. People have a right to hunt and fish. And I guess this probably has a lot more to do with like conservationism and mm-hmm. the state mm-hmm. claiming territory mm-hmm. and banning it in certain mm-hmm. areas. Mm-hmm. And that's the limit of my knowledge right now on this amendment.
Yeah. This is another one I see both ways, you know, because mm-hmm. is it problematic right now? I don't think it's that problematic in the state of Florida. However, it could become problematic.
Yeah.
And so I see, you know, why people would say it's fine and we need to conserve. And the others would say, yeah, but we need to have the right to hunt and fish. And so I think it's going to be a tension to manage either mm-hmm. way. I personally, even I don't hunt or fish, but I will vote yes on this one mm-hmm. because I think that while there will still be the tension to manage, the constitutional right then for people to hunt mm-hmm. and fish has to be respected as yeah. we still do conservation yeah. efforts. There's still going to be infringement upon yeah. what some people believe they should be able to do.
Right. So. Well, and there are restrictions right. already. Yeah. Like you can't just
yeah.
go out. Right. And so that part's a little misleading yeah. might be yeah. the wrong word, but.
So you're also a big.
I'm a big hunter and fisher.
So what's your opinion?
I keep our rights, please.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious. Your hunter fisher husband would be very proud of you right now.
He's though. Not much of a hunter. He's a fisher. And I was
he's
like,
a fisherman.
I mean,
sure.
you guys, like, you're always like, no, it's too small, it's too big, head, throw it back, whatever. I'm like, there are already rules. It's not like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say in general, those who hunt and fish are usually not all. But most are usually very responsible and yeah. care a ton about that.
Right, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Well, we're going to skip 3 and move to 5. So 5, we have ads.
I knew they were going to skip over 3.
No,
we're yeah. coming back to it. We're coming back to it.
it adds an inflation adjustment to the homestead tax exemption. So we have tax exemption.
Yeah.
It's a certain amount, but with inflation, it's basically like we need to make this more
yeah.
because mm-hmm. it doesn't match the current, you know, climate
yeah. right.
economic. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, to me, it makes sense, but I also recognize that what this means is that eventually the millage rate will just increase because they're going
right.
to still get their
right.
money. So yeah. it's just like, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it should increase with inflation, I guess, but also they're going to, it's not like they're going to be like, oh, wait.
Somebody pays for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm going to vote no, just because what you said, I think it's just like obsolete. Like mm-hmm. it's not going to really have any impact. Like it may have like a 1-year impact, but, mm-hmm. You know, the millage rate will increase at a more rapid rate because governments are going to have to figure out how to have money to fund what they're yeah. doing.
What we need to do is figure out how to cut government spending.
Well, I was
going
to say, the answer is electing officials who make yes. wise decisions with, this is usually dealing with county and, you know, city mm-hmm. taxes,
yeah.
like make sure. wise, hold them accountable. That's the answer to this. Not
mm-hmm. man. You know, what we need to do is, get like, and I say this in a great way, not in like, we should get our stewardship policies applied to the government and the level of
scrutiny. At our church.
Yeah, like for like our stewardship team. And there will be a lot less waste, you know? I mean, and I mean that in a great way. Like, there's
yeah, that's a good point.
We don't want Steve Renner or Mark Hayes to not be involved in our church leadership.
That's
yeah,
yeah, they're yeah,
but
they can't,
would run.
No, they
yeah. ran a tight ship.
But, and with that being said, in Niceville, yeah. our city, you know, has really, I can't speak much to the past, but in the past couple of years, a new city manager and our city council, they're really trying to prioritize projects and balance all this. And I just think in some places in our state, you know, we have to recognize that, you know, Northwest Florida is not like a lot of places
yeah.
in our state.
It is, that's for sure.
And so people, taxes are just going up and up and up and mm-hmm. up, and there's no accountability. And this is to preserve, help them, you know.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
So I understand why people would vote yes, but I'm going to vote no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So 6 is the next one, and that basically is repeals public election funding.
Mm.
So that one's tricky.
All 6 of these. All 4 of these, I see both sides.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And this one, it's like, I mean, do people currently in office, running for office, really need the public funding? Probably not, because they have constituents who want to back them. I think the design behind this is that if somebody who doesn't come from money, who's not a Rockefeller or whoever, like, and wants to run, you know, like, whatever, the people in our country with money, I don't know who they are. That's the only name that I can think of, right? Who doesn't just have this generational wealth.
Kennedy.
A lot of Rockefellers in influence these days.
I don't know. They got all their secret money stashes. I don't know. But, like...
Al Capone's funding all these...
I don't know.
Said it a little like, you know, vaudeville like.
That's right.
Rockefeller.
But I just think like the design is that if you don't come for money, this helps. This makes this is intent
provides
is to make
a way, yeah.
provides a way. Mm-hmm. However, it does involve more government.
God will make a way.
That's right. That's true. It does involve more government oversight and involvement in politics and in elections, and is that right? So, I don't know. But I think going back to what these amendments do is this is putting it in the Constitution,
right? Yeah. True.
And that's where I'd be like, if I don't fully like understand the need, do we need it in the Constitution? And that would affect my vote.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm voting no for basically. I don't see the need. I get it. But I think it does more damage than good.
Yeah. Okay, well, the next one is the weed.
We're
getting into the weeds on Buggy Talk.
So this would legalize recreational marijuana for Floridians and out-of-state visitors 21 and older.
Mm. Yeah, so...
So we've had some states that have done this.
You've been there?
Yeah.
It smells.
Yeah, it does smell where you go when it does this, yeah.
It smells terrible.
This is one of those that I mean lots of different opinions and views, so
I'll jump in first. I mean, I would say I personally am for medicinal use, that's in certain cases, just because I know people who have benefited from prescribed medicinal use for differing things. I'm not for recreational use. And really, I think there needs to be more, if even introducing the idea of medical use, there has to be oversight and there has to be guidelines with that, because then anybody can get it. So I think this is specifically about recreational use, which I think is dangerous in terms of our for individuals and culturally for our state, honestly, what it does to the culture of the state.
True.
I would be a no. I would, again, for, but that's not what this is about. So,
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who smoke pot already in Florida.
It's true.
And legally, so I would say that, and I've changed in this, I am more libertarian in nature, and I could get sidetracked right now on issues there, but I am. But I do recognize that it is the role of the Constitution and the role of the government to protect citizens while also trying to respect individual rights. So the reason that we have a lot of traffic laws are so that people are safe. Mm-hmm. And so our individual rights are violated by traffic laws.
Right.
And I think that our individual right here should be violated because ultimately there is greater danger in having just an openness to recreational use of marijuana. People say that it's not as dangerous as alcohol, but I actually don't think that's I think that's anecdotal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the danger of alcohol has actually majorly been limited by traffic laws. So a lot of the alcohol danger, other laws put into place. I mean, I get the point, but this isn't going to create a bunch of people growing marijuana in their backyards and they can smoke it, because actually it's regulated. So it's actually going to make like Trulieve and all those things, they're going to make a ton of money. So this is not like... Mm-hmm. Cheech and Chong getting to do what they want. Wow, that was a great reference.
So I get
Rockefeller. That shows our childhoods.
You just see the ads.
That shows our childhoods, So I remember watching. Anyway. So I just don't think it is even like the people who are like, this is why. It's not even that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to vote no. And this is something that legislation, if you notice Amendment 3 and 4, these things can be enacted by legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So putting it in the Constitution.
We have to recognize that as a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. So we can vote people in who would allow for legalization of marijuana mm-hmm. for recreational uses. We just haven't voted that way as a country. So this is this is saying it's a constitutional right when we still don't vote for people that do. Does that make sense?
And I haven't looked into this for Amendment 3. I have more in 4. But you also have to recognize, like, with all of these, there's a reason behind their being pushed to the Constitution. And I think specifically mm-hmm. reason this one, it would be good to know who's backing this financially.
Governor DeSantis said that Trulieve is positioned mm-hmm. to –
Yes, they're going to make a lot of money.
Have mm-hmm. a credible amount of money.
And mm-hmm. so they're probably funding.
And that's one company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're probably those companies are
There's one in Blue Water.
Funding a
right?
good
Isn't
bit of
that what's in Blue Water? Trulieve? I think so.
There is one that opened in Blue Water mm-hmm. or something that opened in Blue Water. So
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that it is quite an interesting process of how these things even get on the ballot.
Yeah.
But it is so financially, you know, look at that. Who's benefiting? Who isn't? And you can kind of follow the money and see mm-hmm. some things with that.
And that's a valuable thing when you're not fully informed on something and you just are like overwhelmed. You do have to rely on trustworthy people. I mean, even in a church our size, we have teams that are set up to make decisions. They're held accountable, but they spend so much time and they try to do their best to say how we got to this decision. And we hope that you trust those people you put in that position. We're not talking about church here. We're talking about the state government. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. and 28 million residents or whatever, like, I mean, that's close. So, like,
I have no idea how many residents are in Florida right now.
If I were a preacher that just preached politics, would I be like, y'all vote Amendment 3 and it's not going to be Blue Water, it's going to be Bong Water? You know, is that what I would say?
Probably.
Okay.
Maybe.
Sorry.
Is that what people want me to do?
Please don't.
I think some.
not most. No. Yeah, but is that the people who, like, want their pastor to do
I don't know. I don't know, honestly.
Okay,
That's a mystery to me.
Soundbite culture.
Don't take that one out of context.
Soundbite culture. Yeah. Well, last, certainly not least, is Amendment 4. No, yes.
Yes.
Yep. Amendment 4, and this would legalize abortion before fetal viability or when deemed necessary for the health of the mother. That's kind of a summary of it. So this has been the big one. We've, you know, seen a lot. I think locally here, people talking about it. There has been, I think, some misinformation about it, especially the way that it was written. It looks...
Yeah,
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of fear-mongering stories coming out of it. And then when you really dig into it, there's a different story. So thoughts?
Well, I am so grateful that you are on Boggy Talk because whatever we say, and we are going to give our opinions, there is a group that says, well, you're men and it's not your body and you don't have to make that decision. So I definitely value your perspective on this and even, you know, thoughts on this. So I mean, you don't have to go first, but you know, I would like you to share that. So,
Yeah.
I think, going back to the wording, oftentimes these amendments are written specifically to confuse people, to make it sound or mitigate what they're actually getting across. And so,
For clarity, the amendment isn't confusing, but the summary of the amendment is what's confusing.
Yeah. And
if you read the actual amendment, I'll pull it up if you don't have it.
I've got it. The ballot language is no law shall prohibit, penalize.
That's not what's in the amendment. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or a guardian before a minor has abortion. So that's what this the ballot language, but the actual amendment, you're pulling that up. And I think where we have
you read it.
Gotcha. So there you go. There's the actual thing. So one more child in our state, you know, who works across this state and many other states and 18 countries to advocate for women and children and vulnerable families put out a great resource for Amendment 4 to why we should vote no. And I'm going to highlight four reasons that they specifically say. One is that it's deceptive. Instead, it says, claiming to restore Roe versus Wade, the amendment allows abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy and repeals all existing Florida laws regulating abortion. So that's important. It would repeal all existing laws allowing abortion through all 9 months. Second, it removes the requirement for parental consent.
Yep.
And that is a huge piece of this. It requires that it removes that requirement. It also basically says any health, quote unquote, any health care provided. So it gives very broad authority to who can approve abortions. Not just physicians could approve abortions. Anyone. In that point, who's a quote-unquote healthcare provider, and it's not clear who that person is.
Yeah,
and then there's no protections. It allows for late-term abortions. Basically, there's no protections for the unborn child with this proposed amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I think added to that is going back to the funding question. If you dig, there's two primary funding sources for this amendment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's Planned Parenthood and George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's true. That's the research shows that. And so
I think isn't there like a lawsuit about how this even
mm-hmm.
probably
the way that
I don't
it
know.
Got on to the ballot too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Digging, there was something about
even
that.
Recognizing that this amendment is actually being funded by people mm-hmm. and groups outside of our state
mm-hmm.
Is very important to recognize. So
yeah.
I listened to an interview of my friend Dean and Sarah, who's a pastor of City Church in Tallahassee, had the governor come, and they spoke primarily about this amendment. And it was very interesting to hear DeSantis, you know, talk. And he was saying, if you're pro-life, like, this is pretty straightforward for you.
Yeah.
But he was even making the point, if you're pro-choice, there's reasons that you would not want this in the Constitution. And a lot of it has to do with the vagueness of what it's saying. I mean, at the end of the day, and again, I get why people are confused, but this is saying abortion is legal in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
that is
absolutely.
What they're saying constitutionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, another thing
it's
that
constitutional
can
right.
be legislated. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be in the Constitution. We can elect people who have less restrictive abortion laws in our country. But it says no law. You know,
yeah.
So there's no way, because it's constitutional right, shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. So that means the minute they want to go in, they can have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's yeah. nothing that can slow that
right.
down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which in some states, you know, there's a waiting period, you know, just
right.
to make sure this young girl who's coming in, you know, really thinks through what she's doing. Because there are studies that are showing psychological effects of
abortion.
Absolutely. So we're talking about women's health. Well, we think about all of women's health. And then this healthcare provider thing, like you said, like, what does that mean? Because in some state, in some situations, a tattoo artist is considered to be a healthcare provider.
Wow.
Now, I don't think that they will allow that.
Right.
Mm.
But who are they going to allow?
Yeah, it's so
it
vague.
Doesn't have to be. A clinical worker at Planned Parenthood is considered a healthcare provider,
yeah.
provider with no medical training really whatsoever or limited medical training whatsoever. And then, like you said, man, that them throwing that this amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion is so misleading because it's not saying consent.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying if my daughter or your daughter were doing that, they're just going to notify us.
Tell them after the fact.
Yeah.
Or before. It says before. Like they have to tell. But they're not like saying, do you consent?
Right.
They're
that makes sense.
This is happening.
And you know, I mean, we've seen that this is not practiced with respect to parental authority, and this is not done with respect to life. I think for believers, you know, I think it's pretty clear based on scripture. And I think that, I think the argument is, well, and I mean, they're using that video of that girl in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, that is such an extreme case.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand every law that's put into place ultimately impacts a person or two negatively, or at least has a perceived impact on somebody negative. We don't legislate we can never legislate based on every instance.
Yeah.
As a church, we can't make decisions based on
right.
every single person. And that needs to be met with compassion and kindness, right? So that's what I would say to that. And also, they are using very rare circumstances mm-hmm. to facilitate what will be the common just practice of right. young women who do have fine health, who could care for the baby mm-hmm. and bring it to full term.
Yeah.
But I think it really comes to the issue. You know, my son and I were talking about this morning. I'm like, we are, I think, in many ways in Babylon in terms of these views in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even amongst Christians. I don't think a lot of professing Christians see it like I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So, again, yep. that kind of sets up, like, you're a woman.
No, you guys said, I mean, all of it, basically. I agree with all of that. I think that they set this up very – they knew what they were doing in the language. Mm-hmm. It's written in a way that in a court of law, like – nobody could say anything right. about it, basically. Mm-hmm. It's so vague, even using the words, the mother's health. Right. I mean, that could be what health? Her mental health?
Right.
Because
right.
then she might be depressed. You know, it just, it's a free
What is the standard
reign.
Of health? Yeah. yeah.
Right.
And so just, I am 100% pro-life. I always like to look at something and be like, well, why do people feel this way? And right. kind of work through that, like fears or concerns that they may have. So whenever you look up the amendment language or you look up ads, you might not know who's running it. You read these horrific stories of women that are being denied medical access and care and then dying or almost dying because physicians were worried that they would get their license taken away or things like that. So as a woman, you know, somebody who has daughters, you're like, oh my gosh, like, what, you know, what if something happened to one of them and they go in? Is that really true, you know, that the baby's, you know, is an ectopic pregnancy or something right, like that, right. and then they're not going to provide medical care to them? Right. You know, that's what the ads make you feel right. like. But then when right. you really start digging in, it's like, no, that's not mm-hmm. even true. And even with Florida saying, you know, we have the 6-week abortion ban or whatever, people go, well, you don't even know that you're pregnant until around 6 weeks. But if you look at the language of the actual statute, Florida, I mean, regardless how you feel about this, Florida does have exceptions mm-hmm. for rape, incest, human trafficking. Mm-hmm. But there is a process that people have to go through to where it's not just this, I walk into a clinic, I'm coerced right. by this person who's right. going to make money off of this situation, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, so even for people that are like, well, I don't want to say that I'm, you know, I'm okay with abortion if it was in rape or whatever. Even if they don't want to, like, come out and say that, Florida still does have those mm-hmm. things. This mm-hmm. law basically says it's at any time, at any point. Mm-hmm. And so I was interested in what medical professionals were also saying about this. And DeSantis did, like, a, I don't know what you call it, a forum or whatever, mm-hmm. and he had a lot of medical professionals there, and they were breaking it down about that, like, no, we are still giving care to women. We're not denying these, you know, anomaly kind of situations that are then being applied as this is the rule and this is what's going to happen to everybody. So I think that, you know, in rhetoric, people are taking fear, yeah. and they are pushing the fear agenda to try to make people mm-hmm. worried that, mm-hmm. you know, well, you might just die because
yeah, I mean,
they don't yeah. care about you. It's not right. your body anymore, you know, that kind of yeah, thing. And that's just yeah. not mm-hmm. true. That's not the truth of it at all. So,
Yeah, I would say to anyone who, you know, going back to last week's episode where we talked about the state of the presidential election, and if you're, you know, and how some people may just feel like, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to vote. I would say, if you're in Florida, it's worth going to vote
yes.
no
yes.
on this amendment,
Absolutely.
Even if mm-hmm. you cannot fill out with clear conscience the presidential ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I would say do it. This is worth it
yeah.
right here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah, I think we're in a you know, and it's interesting. You know, One More Child's organization put this out, like the critique is, well, Christians, you know, and conservatives and whoever are not pro-life from womb to tomb. That is just a false narrative.
That's a lie.
That is just a false narrative. It's false. And it's sad to me. You know, I get that people disagree with me on abortion. I really think they're not confronting the facts, you know, and I think feelings of preservation of life style is causing them to not confront the facts. But it's just wild that we will literally, we're literally at a point where we will, that issue, people, I remember Christians being critiqued about being one issue voters because of this, like voting no on abortion. And now it's the other way. We flipped the other way. Like, and we call it reproductive health, reproductive rights and all that. And like, it's just sad. It's really sad. I hope that this is voted down, but I think it has to be 60% that vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my only like,
it's kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah. But I was going to say, I think it was 50-50. It's probably not happening. So I would say my whole point of saying that, like, is if you should vote, like your vote will count in this one, you know,
for sure. Absolutely. So,
Well, sorry, we're going to have to cut.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
It's fine. We'll come up with questions next time.
Yeah, we got some questions.
We got some questions that have been coming in. Thank you. I think in the interest of time, we'll save them for our next episode.
All right. Well, that sounds great. We're not going to do questions this time.
We should pray.
If you have more. Yeah.
You want to pray?
Let's pray. Hey, join us in prayer.
Yeah.
Did you say me pray?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I closed my eyes. And
Hey, just join us in prayer. Lord, we trust you. And we recognize that you are ruling and reigning over all things, and that all governments in the end bow to you.
That's right.
And so we pray, God, specifically for this time, one, in our state and in our country, God, that the church, that Christians will seize the opportunity to really be bold in proclaiming the truth of the gospel in the midst of cultural mess and chaos. Lord, we pray specifically for this Amendment 4, and God, that it would be voted down for the protection of life. And Lord, we just pray, God, that, well, when we don't know what to pray, we just follow what you say, Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, thank you for your invitation to us to be a part of that. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's awesome that we are able to talk about these things, hash them out, and we will have more next week.
Yeah,
thanks
we will.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.